is entitled Unbelieving King and Citizens. Unbelieving King and Citizens. I'm not going to read the whole of the scripture verses from the text of the scripture. It's coming from 2 Kings, the 6th chapter, the 24th verse through the 7th chapter and the 20th verse. I'm going to only read to you parts of that for the short and the length of this sermon. Hope. We've been talking about hope in our one hope of our calling. And the people in the Old Testament couldn't possibly have the hope that we have now. Abraham, we read, had faith and he believed God and it was counted to him. He was the father of the faith. But Abraham had to grow in the faith of God. He grew in faith and trusting to see God do what his word say he would do. In the New Testament, this dispensation, I was telling them the other night, that the Old Testament was written. We have those scriptures for our admonition to those of us whom the ends of the world has come. There's a lot of spiritual teaching in that Old Testament that if you exclude it, some of the stories that are in there sounds like a part of history. And that's what I'm going to do this morning, explain to you part of history of the Old Testament, of a story where this king of Israel, and all of the kings of Israel were wicked. And the people also were evil people. In other words, it's the church, and it's like today, the church of God, we have an evil, our nation has a, I would say, the leadership is evil. And the people also, a lot of the people within the churches are not right. Even though they call themselves the people of God, even though sometimes God would act on behalf of this nation as he act on behalf of that nation, it doesn't mean that we're serving God or we're fulfilling his purpose or whatever. That's why we have to walk circumspective, because I tell you, everybody that goes to church, everybody that calls on the name of the Lord is not a child of God. Sometimes we have people in there professing and everything, but we have to stand up as God has given us to stand up. But we must not be super or over righteous much. In other words, sometimes we have to see these things and allow them to go on. And we have to intervene according to the word of God. And that's what God, what I'm seeing from this teaching, from this preaching this morning, God getting the people, or we should be looking at, not necessarily that they learned from that. They didn't learn from what happened. It was only God's select few who learned actually from what happened here. I think the lepers, the four lepers that were cast out, learned from this. I think Elisha already knew God and knew of how God worked. But I think a lot of this is for our admonition, us in the Latter-day Church, us in this end time, to see how you can be in the church and not really believe in God, not have hope in God. See, it's one hope of our calling, and that hope is the hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that everything lies within Christ, and he is our hope, that we depend on him for everything. All things are made possible by Jesus Christ. None of them could be made by man. The 6th chapter reads, when the king of Aram was at war with Israel, he would confer with his officers and say, we will mobilize our forces at such and such place. But immediately Elisha, the man of God, would warn the king of Israel, do not go near that place, for the Arameans are planning to mobilize their troops there. So the king of Israel would send word to the place indicated by the man of God. Time and time again, Elisha warned the king so that he would be on the alert there. The king of Aram became very upset over this, and he called his officers together and demanded, which of you is a traitor? Who has been informing the king of Israel of my plans? It's not us, my lord. One of the officers replied, Elisha, the prophet in Israel, tells the king of Israel even the words you speak in the privacy of your bedroom. Looks like among the king's people, they have someone here that realizes that a true man of God knows what you're doing in the privacy of your home. knows what's going on. You see, a lot of us, sometimes, I said God doesn't give us a lot of discernment in things. We learn how to approach others. We learn how to talk to one another because sometimes God's giving us so we can see when a person's not what they should be. When a person's not what they should be. People on your job realizes when you're not what you should be. Your children realize when you're not what you should be. People can realize when a pastor or when a leader is not what they should be. See, and if you're not in charge of your home and a pastor's not in charge of his church or the leader of the nation is not in charge of the nation, people can see. People know that. A lot of times people tease y'all, man, you henpecked. You ain't running things at home. Or some people would say, man, look at here, the church is run by the deacons, or the church is run by these people. Some people say, well, this guy is the strong arm of the nation, and this is what's going on in the nation. That happened to us several years back when Obama was telling the people that he was the leader, but he wasn't a ruler. In other words, the leader also needs the people to follow him. You need the people. I couldn't do anything if the people didn't follow, because God is sovereign, and it is God that's doing everything. And so what happened, a lot of people were so proud that we had an African-American president that they didn't go out and vote for senators and representatives or whatever. Thus, he couldn't really get his agenda done because the ignorance of the people. In the church, the ignorance of the people allows the pastor not to be able to accomplish his job. Elisha wasn't able to accomplish the people, to cause the priest to hear God's word, because they had an ignorant leader and the priest were ignorant. That's why the apostles said they couldn't do more than what the deacons helped them to do. You remember when the people were complaining, the widows were complaining about, well, we can't get this done, we can't get that done. So the pastor said, well, look, I got too much going. The apostles said, well, we need to read and study the word of God. We don't have time for this other stuff. So what did they do? They appointed deacons. And the deacons was given to help the women in the church, the people in the church who couldn't do for themselves. That was their job. That was their job. See, a deacon is supposed to be the hand of the pastor. We'll see here with the hand of the man that was next to the king of Israel, he wasn't what he was supposed to be. He was really an unbeliever at heart. He didn't really believe in God, even though he was of Israel. He didn't actually believe in God. Like I say, for the brevity of this, we're not going to continue reading. I know y'all have been studied and know of this story. And those that listen on sermon audio, hope it drives them to read the second, the sixth, and the seventh chapter of 2 Kings. Those chapters have in it what we're talking this morning. And I think that's what's wrong with a lot of people in the church. They become too dependent on their pastor. They become too dependent on the people and television and things. Well, just read everything. I don't want to read. Well, the Bible tells you to read and study to show yourselves approved. The Bereans went back and studied to make sure what they were saying was right. See, people want to follow the world and the things of the world and not take their time and follow God. They want all their time on their stuff. They want to carve hours out of their life for God. And that's what was wrong here. The people were trusting in themselves and not God. They were trusting in power and might. We studied that in the book of Amos. The people were too busy with their houses to do anything for God's house. That's how we are today. We're too busy building our castles and setting our fortunes aside and taking care of our children and making America great instead of minoring in what's major in their life. Hearing the word of God, studying the word of God. See, that's what Jesus told Martha. Martha, you worry about too many other things. Mary had chosen that good thing, and that was to hear the word of God. Now, if you hear the word of God and knowing the word of God, you stop trusting in things and power and what you could do. Because one of these days, you probably won't be able to do those things. What's going to happen then? What's going to happen then when God sent a power or something more mightier than you, or you get replaced? Yeah. See, that's what a lot of people are so busy chasing after material things, they're afraid they'll be replaced. They'll be replaced on the job. That the wife or the husband would replace them. That the children or parents would replace them. That the boss would get somebody else on that job. How people and how other people. Their hope is not in God. They're not pressing forward in the mark. They're not being clothed in Christ. They're not putting on clothes. In other words, I press on toward the mark. Now, in that prayer, the opening prayer, when he was talking about being clothed, I said, I was hoping I had the clothes on then that he said he was having them because Christ hadn't clothed me yet. In other words, he's in the process because that's why Paul said he hadn't attained yet. See, because it's a lot of areas where I fall short, and the king didn't realize he was short in a lot of these areas. The king of Aramea, of the Syrians, didn't realize how short he was. The people in the city didn't realize how short they were. And they had got complacent in God. They were happy where they were, and they were looking for deliverance from each other. That's my first point, trusting in power and might. The king of Assyria was looking to overpower and kill Elijah because of what I just read to you. That Elijah was telling of his plans. We don't want people reading our mail. We don't want people that know much as we do. We don't want people that's interfering with what we're trying to get accomplished. And that's all of us. All of us are that way. But see, we're not trusting and hoping in God. So he thought that if he would do away with Elijah, that he would do what he wanted to do to the people of Israel then. So he wanted to overpower him, and God delivered him right into Elijah's hands. In other words, that which he was trying to accomplish ended up being his downfall. Now, he had sent his enemies out to try to kill him. He had sent his enemies out to try to kill him, try to kill Elijah. And the servant had told him, well, there's a prophet in Israel, and the God of Israel tells him what you're doing in your bedroom. Notice that the king of Israel was listening at Elijah here. That every time Elijah would tell him what the king of Syria would do, he would listen at it and do that, and he would overcome the king of Syria. See, a lot of people, when it benefits us, we'll listen at the preacher. When it benefits us, we'll listen at God. But when it don't appeal to our flesh, when it don't appeal to what we're doing, or somebody else say, well, no, we want to do this, then you get upset. He listened to Elijah telling him about the king of Aram, the king of Assyria coming after. But notice that he was adamant against Elijah. He was adamant against the truth. That's how the people in this nation is. That's how the people of the churches are today. They're hearing what they want to hear. But what you need to do is ask the Lord, and your hope be in Christ, and he's going to show you everything that's going on. You can sit back and see it. Now, when he sent his men out to attack Elijah, it says God smote them with blindness. God smote them with blindness. Then Elisha went out and told him, let's read some of this other part where he was sending them out. He said, and the report came back, Elisha is at Dothan. So one night the king of Aram sent a great army with many chariots and horses to surround the city. So what happened was, the king, it's as soon as they entered Samaria, Elisha prayed, listening to what Elisha's focus was. These people were coming to get him. Elisha's focus was on God. He says, oh Lord, now open their eyes and let them see. God had blinded them, just like I said, the world is operating in darkness of blindness, and God had led them straight to Elijah. They was at his mercy. And he says, open their eyes, that they discovered that they were in the middle of Samaria. When the king of Israel saw them, he shouted to Elijah, my father, should I kill him? Now he is asking the prophet what he should do. That's the king of Israel. God then brought his enemy right in the middle of the camp, and now he's asking, can I kill him, Elijah? Should I kill him? And Elijah says, of course not. Elisha replied, "Do we kill prisoners of war, or do we give them food and drink and send them home again to their master?" So the king made a great feast. What did Elijah do? Elijah led him to the word of God. He led him to the word of God, just as Jesus said, we should pray while in it. We should feed him if he's hungry. That's wiseness. That you wouldn't slaughter as our leader today. I heard him, like I said, I don't listen to any much because of some of the weird stuff he says. He said about the terrorists and some of the other people that we should kill them and their families. And 70 to 80% of the evangelical community elected this man as our leader. And he said we should kill them and kill their families. This is what our leader, elected leader, said, and we have people that follow that. He said we should kill them and their families. God said, Proverbs 25 and 21, if your enemies are hungry, give them food to eat. If they are thirsty, give them water to drink. You will heap burning coals of shame on their heads, and the Lord will reward you. According to Exodus 23, 4, and 5, if you come upon your enemy's ox or donkey that has strayed away, take it back to its owner. If you see that the donkey or someone who hates you have collapsed under a load, do not walk by. Instead, stop and help him. If your neighbor that always, and I got a neighbor like that, it's always trying to lay traps on me. He's one of my worst enemies I could be. But do you know when he have problems and everything, I'm the listening ear that he comes to. He's talking about his brother and everybody else around him. I'm the ears that he comes to.
Yes.
You see, in other words, what that does, he says, that'll heap heaping coals on his head, because being nice to your enemy don't solve the problem. If God don't turn, he's still going to be your enemy. But he says, I'll cause your enemies to be at peace. But sometimes God uses your enemy to carry out his will. See, God is sovereign. God is in charge. This guy forgot that they did that. Now listen to what they did. When Elijah said, don't kill your enemy, what they provided a great feast for, and they sent them home to their masters. After that, the king of Arabia, of the Syrians, raiders stayed away from the land of Israel. Now look, I don't know if this is in chronological order or whatever time, but a lot of people say, let's see, would you do good for people? The next month or next week or something, they'll be cursing you to your face. You can help your neighbor out. You can loan him sugar or bread, or get in his car to ditch and help him out, take him to the store, do whatever you want him. But a couple of weeks later, you're in the doghouse again. You can turn against people or your friends and things. Your wife wants you, or your husband wants you to do this or whatever. But that same wife or husband, 6 months later, I need something new. I need this and that. They done forgot how you done went out your way and lost a lot of your friends helping them. Yeah. See, people are fickle like that. But God is not fickle. So that's why we have to do what God says. Elijah's the only one here that had any hope, because he knows God's word. This all started in the book of Genesis about God's word. And when he says, had not God said. God said what he said, and he meant what he said. He's not like us. If God said, that's what it is. See, Elisha knew that. That's why I tell you, study God's word and know what God's word says in all situations and instances. That's your hope, the promise of hope. Jesus Christ is that word. The word is immutable. It changes not. Your hope is in Christ. That's where the faith, it takes faith. You remember I said, to have hope, you must have faith. Your faith is in the promises of God, in the promises of what Jesus said. It will come to pass. That takes a lot of gumption to feed your enemies and help them that's going to turn around and try to kill you. You have to have faith and trust in God, because that's where your hope is. That's all you're living for. That's what motivation to do what you want to do. Hope is that motivation, but faith is what you have in God. See, these people didn't have that hope, because Jesus hadn't came yet. See, Jesus is the object of our faith. He is our hope. We're looking unto Christ. The king of Israel, like I said, was like those of this nation. They was observing of the ceremonial law, but selectively. In other words, this nation is patriotic, or this nation is dedicated to the laws of God when it's convenient to them. And that's why when they're looking at abortion, a lot of these dogmas are things that they follow wholeheartedly. They're legalistic in this. They had cast the lepers outside of the city according to the 7th chapter. It says the 7th chapter, 3rd and 4th verse. Now there were 4 men with leprosy sitting at the entrance of the city gates. Why should we sit here and die, waiting to die? They asked each other. We will starve if we stay here, but with the famine in the city, we will starve if we go back there. So we might as well go and surrender to the Aramean army. If they let us live, so much the better. But if they kill us, we would die anyhow. Now, according to God's law, that it is right what the king done. They should be cast outside of the city. They were not allowed to be among the people or whatever. And so if the famine was gone and somebody was having to feed them within the city, didn't have any food in the city. So here again, here are some people without hope. These are the drugs of the city who had been cast out from among his own people. The church treat a lot of the members as cast out because you are not a little faith or whatever. They've cast a lot of their people out. It was like Dives cast Lazarus out, wouldn't even give him the crumbs from his table. This nation cast the true people out. The true people in the administration have been, they're having their license revoked. They're having their security clearance revoked. They're being called all kinds of lies because they stand up on the principles and things of God, and they're being called the drugs of society because they're not going along with your personal agenda. He's fighting with his own attorney general now, and one who stood up for him and wanted to first endorse him. Now they're at odds with one another. That's how Satan is. It's a house divided and it won't stand. If you can't see that and you join that team, you deserve to fall because the blind is leading the blind. We need to pray that we can see, that God would open up our eyes. This king was willing to murder God's prophet. God tells us, touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm. But listen at this second, the Kings, the 6th chapter, the 32, the 33rd verse. When the king heard this, he tore his clothes in despair. And as the king walked along the wall, the people could see that he was wearing burlap under his robe next to his skin. He was in mourning. He was fasting. He wasn't fasting out of serving God. He hated God. He didn't do what God wanted him to do. He was cause of the city, him and the people. The fix they were in, they got themselves in that fix. But he said, may God strike me and even kill me if I don't separate Elisha's head from his shoulders this very day. The king vowed. Elisha was sitting in his house. When things go bad, they go blame you. When things, it don't go like people are fully persuaded in their own mind and they're not fully converted and actually believe on God, when things don't go the way they expect them or want them to go, then it's your fault. You the man of God that told him. You the holy person. You witnessed to him and you told him this. It was good for him going along when he was getting out of the trap with the king of Syria. But now he feels slighted because God is allowing a famine to come into the city. But the famine wasn't coming because of the prophet. Those people that were saved alive, they were going to turn on him anyhow. He might be saying, if I'd have killed these people when I had them and wouldn't have let them go and listened to Elisha, this wouldn't have happened. Things happen. I tell y'all all the time, things happen. Things happen. Because God is sovereign and God's at the base of these things. It's caught in your life and what's going on in your life. Elisha was sitting in his house with the elders of Israel when the king sent a messenger to summons him. But before the messengers arrived, Elisha said to the elders, see ye how this son of a murderer has sent to take away my head? When he arrives, shut the door and keep him out. We will soon hear his master's steps following him. While Elisha was still saying this, the messenger arrived and the king said, all this misery is from the Lord. Why should I wait for the Lord any longer? In other words, you remember I told you God allows you to see what's going on?
Yeah.
Elisha wasn't in the dark. He was at his house, but he knew the king had sent someone to kill him. He said the son of a murderer because he was the son of that henpecked king Ahab. And who was running the roost? His wife, Jezebel, that murdering woman. That's why he said the son of a murderer. His daddy and his mama. Ahab allowed Naboth to be murdered over his vineyard. But his wife was the murderer. That son of a murderer is sending to have me killed. None of the family followed God. And so he said, the son of a murderer is going to have me killed. But the servant was coming at the door, but Elijah was, his hope was in God. And God also showed him that I done stepped on his toe. I done woken his consciousness up. And he says, I realize now this is from God. See, God opened up your understanding when he wants you to. He allows you to see. Sometimes Jesus veils himself from us. The Lord could be in his place and we don't know it. God shows us himself. God wakes us up to consciousness. The king realized this and he followed this messenger. While Elijah was still saying this, the messenger arrived and the king said, all this misery is from the Lord. Out of his own mouth says, you know, all this coming from God. Why should I wait for God any longer? He was upset. He was upset. My second point here is hope lies in God's word. That's where hope lies at. These people didn't know about hope. They knew about wishing and everything. They thought they was happy because things was going on at home. Things were going right. But here comes the famine. And they are... None of them know God's word. None of them know what hope is. Elisha knew God's word was giving him power over all his enemies and to do what he wanted to do. And that's what I say. A lot of times things going on in your life, that's because God is giving you power. And you see how God operating by you keeping his word. But beware when that's happening because Satan sometimes interjects material thoughts and things in your mind. That's why you got to say, well, where did that come from? Knows I'm in church at this time. I don't know why he would call me. Anyhow, that no matter what the circumstances, his salvation was in God. 2 Kings 6, chapter 15 through the 17th verse. When the servant of the man of God got up early the next morning and went outside, there were troops and horses and chariots everywhere. Oh, sir, what will we do now? The young man cried to Elisha. That's when the king of Syria had sent those forces. You remember I say he had sent that army to surround them? See, if you're not truly, now even though he was with Elisha, a servant of Elisha, and had been with Elisha all that time, he wasn't in God. He was scared to death. God hadn't given us a spirit of fear. Elisha, the one who rose up and calmed him down. It was Elisha that rose up and calmed him down. The servant, people in the church acting erratic, people in the nation acting erratic because they don't have God. They don't see what you see. They're not seeing what you see. Elisha sat, told him, don't be afraid, for there are more on our side than on theirs. There be more with us than it is with them. Then Elisha prayed, O Lord, open his eyes and let him see. And the Lord opened the young man's eyes. And when he looked up and he saw that the hillside around Elijah was filled with horses and chariots of fire. God has his angels encamped around us right now.
Right.
God, you have to see the providence of God in the divine sovereignty of God. Nobody can do you anything unless God allows it. He says, Satan, you can go down here and do what you want to do to Job, but don't touch his skin. See, no matter what you're doing to me, I know God is allowing this because, you know, we glory in trials and tribulation because no matter what falls upon us, God says, I'm just chopping him up because I got another battle for him to fight. Let me see, can he go through this? But a lot of us can't handle our homes. A lot of us can't handle circumstances on the job. We can't handle people out in the work. We can't handle anything. And thus, we never grow in the Lord because you're never doing what's right in that situation. How you growing faith? How you growing hope? It's by walking in that present situation. What's going on today makes for greater days tomorrow. Yeah. We're not majoring in the minors. We have to take the little details. It's the small foxes that destroy the lion. See, we are a nation that throw away pennies and nickels and quarters. They don't know that those make dollars. If you know how to manage the small thing, the big things is a walk in the park. So he says, open his eyes, Lord. Let him see. Let him see. You won't be afraid of man if you know who's on your side.
Praise God, you're right.
Provisions would be given by that great provider. Now the king had stepped up and said he was going to take Elijah's head off his shoulders. In that seventh chapter, look what Elijah does. Elijah replied, he says, listen to this message from the Lord. This is what the Lord says. By this time tomorrow in the markets of Samaria, 6 quarts of choice flour will only cost 1 piece of silver, and 12 quarts of barley of grain will cost only 1 piece of silver. In other words, things could be lower or cheaper tomorrow, more abundance than it is at regular times. In other words, way before this famine came, God could make provision. See, he knew God was a provider. See, God can provide. And that's why I was telling my wife, your hope can't be in man giving you some kind of medication. Your hope can't be in your children coming through for you. Your hope can't be in man. We've got one hope that's in Christ Jesus. If he says in this life you'll have houses, if that applies to me, I'll have them. But I'm seeking first the kingdom of God. He'll add those to me. See, a lot of people try to worry about how God's going to figure this out. How is he going to do this? What kind of reason and rationale? See, that's what your mind tells you. And that's why I said, let the mind be in you that was in Christ. I don't try to kill your hopes. And I say, I don't preach a prosperity gospel. If you say, I'm going to have a house, or I'm going to have a car, I'm going to do all these things. And my reason and rationale says, now, it's going to cost this and it's going to cost that. I'm thinking logically. But if God told you it's so, but you better make sure that's God telling you that. Right. You better make sure that's God. Because then when he said those problems, then you say, you know what? That wasn't God. I'm glad he showed me that. I can get out of here now before I got committed to this. Some people get into marriages. Some people get into things. That looks good. I can handle it. You can wish you hadn't have married that person. You can wish you hadn't have got that job. You can wish you hadn't have got that car. You can't handle a note. You can't handle a note on that house. Now you got to give all that back, claiming that was from God. Now you fighting that person, saying that they the devil. Young man killed that woman the other day, and didn't kill himself because he couldn't handle it. He got in a situation that wasn't from God. He was unequally yoked. Stop getting in situations. But if God say, stop trying to figure out God. With God, all things are possible. God don't show you how you will handle this. Listen to what there was an officer insisting and said to the man of God. That couldn't happen even if the Lord opened the windows of heaven. But Elisha replied, you will see it with your own eyes, but you won't be able to eat of it. See, that's doubt. People are doubting God. What happens to people with unbelieving and doubt? See, and he was like, I was saying, that carnal mind gets you to say, how can God do this? How can this happen or whatever? A donkey's head, they're eating dove's dung, they eat, and how can this happen the next day? They couldn't get trucks, they couldn't get their stuff here fast enough for us to have this in abundance. God works like that. God can work a miracle. God is not limited by us. Our thoughts and our minds are limited. God is unlimited. He's infinite. And this guy said, that can happen if he opened the windows of heaven. It happened. It happened. If God wants to heal you, he can heal you. That's why the Hebrew children say, if God wanted to deliver us, we know he's able to deliver us. We don't have to avoid going in the fire. We was thrown in the fire, and God was right there in the fire. That's why I say God could manifest himself. The king seen God and said, who else is that in that fire? I thought we threw three in. I see a fourth one, and the fourth one looked like the Son of God. See, if you go through your trials and tribulations knowing that nothing's going to separate you from the love of God. Your hope is in God. If you perish, you perish. But Job said, look, you can hide me in the grave. In other words, take my life if you want. But I know one day that I'll see God. I see him in my flesh. He said, my Redeemer liveth. So just hide me in the grave. But one day I'll stand before him. One day you will see God and you will receive of what he promised you according to his word. That's why I say apprehend his word. Take hold of that word. Be purged by the word. Not by power, not by might, but by his spirit. That's how God operates. The Assyrian army that night, it says, those lepers, you remember I said that say if they sit there, they go die. And if they stay here, they go die. But let us get up and do something. Hope motivates you to do things. Hope makes you move. That's your motivation. See, a lot of people sitting in the church dying because they're afraid to act against that which is opposing them. You hadn't drawn near enough to God that his spirit would empower you. See, God's spirit empowers you to take these opportunities. Well, what happened that they were completely surrounded. But look at this in the 6th through the 7th verse. For the Lord had caused the Assyrian army to hear the clatter of speeding chariots and the galloping of horses and the sounds of a great army approaching. The king of Israel had, and this doubtful king, he started trying to reason that off or whatever. And they said, the king of Israel has hired the Hittites and the Egyptians to attack us. They cried one another. So they panicked and ran into the night, abandoning their tents, horses, donkeys, and everything else as they had fled for their lives. Did I say that the armies had came, the Egyptian and the Hittites had came, and they heard the horses and chariots and things that was about to be killed? No, I didn't. God had caused them to hear clattering and noises. God can cause you to hear things. Sometimes you see them things. God can cause that. God caused them to hear a noise, and it wasn't anything out there in the desert. God caused it to happen. That's why I say the hope is in God. Here's God acting on the behalf of Israel. God caused them to hear this. They had all that stuff out there, all that wealth, and they ran off and left it, and wasn't nobody out there after them. Wasn't no noises or nothing. God caused them to hear. God is the cause of everything. He said, I do good and I do evil. I cause all these things to happen. It wasn't nobody out there. If you read Leviticus, and throughout, the same thing happens to us a lot of times. Leviticus 26 and 35. And upon them that are left alive of you, I will send a faintness into their hearts in the lands of their enemies. And the sound of a shaken leaf shall chase them, and they shall flee as fleeing from a sword, and they shall fall when none pursueth them. It's got people that die because it's all in their minds and in their hearts. God causes this to happen. You get so in bad a shape that God have you to start hearing voices that ain't there. You start running from things that ain't there. That because God's in charge of the mind, he's in charge of the heart. Who knows why people have heart attacks? Who knows why these things happen? That's what he died to make your mind whole and give you a sound mind. But if you're too double-minded, too cross, people don't know when to believe you and not to believe you. That's why I say I can't believe this leader we have now. He's too accusing. He accuses people of this. He double-tracks himself that. He's unstable in all his ways. If you say something and people can't count on what you said, you have a problem. But I can bank on what God says. God's word is tangible. It's there. And through faith, I stand up on it. That's the substance of things heard. If God said it, then I have faith in it. Even though we don't see these things, it's the evidence of things. Amen. We know God's going to bring this to pass. He gave them deliverance.
Yes.
Gave them deliverance. Yes. They had women in there. Delicate women. But they were spiteful, evil, wicked women. Probably the ones who called their husband to be the way they was. You know, women are some of the worst ones. That's what happened in this nation. Some of the worst ones. And we have too many weak men following these overbearing Jezebels. She replied, this woman said to me, She was telling the king of her problems. You're talking to the wrong one. You're hungry and you're starving, and you're telling the king your problem. King can't help you. Listen to what the king said. One day as the king was walking along the wall of the city, a woman called and said, "Please help me, my lord the king." He answered, and he told her the truth from our reading scripture. If the Lord doesn't help you, what can I do? If God won't help you, what can I do to help you? People, I pray for me. If God don't hear your prayers, if you praying to God, he don't hear your prayer, what makes you think he's going to hear mine? You might be in the shape. Jeremiah said, don't pray for these people, because he wasn't going to hear me. I turned it back. When people ask you to pray for, do sometimes that leads you to witness to them, though, and say, well, look, you can't get prayers through. Why are you not praying for? He said, have you prayed to God? You know, people that always ask you to pray for them, ask them, are you a Christian? And if they say, yeah, find out why their prayer is not getting through. Find out, are the people in the church praying for them? How they talk with the pastor? That will give you an opportunity to witness. Why are you in a condition where, because if you say Jesus saved you, you should know that we can boldly come before the throne of grace and petition God in his name, in the name of Jesus. If Jesus is your Savior, if he's your Lord and Savior, and that's where your hope is, your hope ain't finding me on the street. Your hope is that you done found God. And you can boldly go to the throne of grace and pray for yourself. What's happening if you praying for the clergy and having these priests pray for you and these people, and they're wrapped up in this child abuse thing? They ain't clean. Their prayer ain't getting through. You asking somebody that's a pedophile to pray for you.
You're right.
His prayer, and you depending on his prayer, you ain't praying for yourself. So he's praying for you and he's a pedophile. So that's what you're counting on, huh?
That's good.
These women, a lot of them involved in this Me Too movement. But you know, a lot of them walking around here with tattoos on every portion of their body and halfway naked, and ain't nothing but lascivious women dressing in lewdness. And then they go accuse the guy because his nature and took over. Tell me this, are you dressing like a tramp or something? That's why the nation is given the order. How many times have you been married? We got leaders and things that are marrying in political positions and diss that wife and get another wife. This guy Giuliani, he was married when he was the mayor or something. Start going with another woman, divorced his wife while he was the mayor, and got another woman in there. And then a year or so ago, he divorced that woman for another woman. What's going on in this nation? And you wondering where the curse comes from. The curse comes from those that say they're following God and they're not following God. And we voting for them. We going along with that agenda. All of them, the church, Satan's ministers, and transforming the angels of darkness, of angels of light. He answered, if the Lord doesn't help you, what can I do? I have neither food from the threshing floor nor wine from the press to give you. But the king asked, well, what is the matter though? She replied, this woman said to me, come on, let's eat your son today. Then we will eat my son tomorrow. So we cooked my son and ate him. Then the next day I said to her, kill your son so he can eat him. But she has hidden her son. When the king heard this, he tore his clothes in despair. As the king walked along the wall and the people could see that he was wearing this burla. Shouldn't they have known better? They got themselves in that fix. You know, a lot of women act like they're high and mighty. A lot of men think they got something there. And you got the scum of the earth with you. And you the scum of the earth for not detecting it and being able to stand up against it. You allowing her to be in that position. That's why, you know, the women doing this because they don't have strong men. That's why the women become leaders. That's why the women become over their homes, because the men won't lead. When you see that reversal, that's because the men are not being men. That's a curse upon the nation. That's a curse upon the people. God said it was a curse upon the people. If we're following God's word, we knew that they're eating their son. But he said the life is in the blood. It was, you don't find human sacrifice. You don't find cannibalism in Israel. We know that you shouldn't eat man's flesh. That was cannibalism right there. That was against the Lord. He said, the blood is in the flood. How you will kill your son and Eve? You got to be low down to do that. Something's wrong there. You didn't be driven to that point. Don't say what you want to. You've been turned over to a reprobate mind. You messed up. But didn't God see this in his word? Yeah, he saw it in his word. Let's read way before this. Let's go all the way back to Deuteronomy when God was bringing them out to land and he had given them his law. He had given them his word. He says, Deuteronomy 28, 45 through 57. So all these curses, what? All these curses will come up on you and pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed, because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God by keeping his commandments and his statutes which he commanded you. There will be a sign and a wonder to you and your descendants forever, because you did not serve the Lord your God with a heart full of joy and gladness for the abundance of all things with which he had blessed you. You will therefore serve your enemies whom the Lord sends against you, in hunger and in thirst, in nakedness and in lack of all things, and he will put an iron yoke of slavery on your neck until he destroys you. He's talking to his people because they wasn't walking in his word. They wasn't doing what God had called them to do, what God had said, stand for this and observe my laws. If you don't, you'll be cursed. The Lord will bring a nation against you from afar away, from the end of the earth, as swift as eagles swoop down to attack a nation whose language you will not understand. A defiant nation who will have no respect for the old, nor show no favor to the young. And it will eat the offspring of your herd and the produce of your ground until you are destroyed. Who will leave you no grain, new wine, or oil, nor the offspring of your herd, or the young of your flocks, until they've eaten all of this stuff. And it says, they will besiege you in all your cities until you, your high and fortified walls in which you trust, come down through your land. And they will besiege you in all your cities throughout your land which the Lord your God has given you. Then you will eat the offspring of your own body. You'll eat your own children. You'll eat your own children to avoid starvation, the flesh of your sons and daughters whom the Lord your God has given you, during the siege and the misery by which your enemy will oppress you. The man who is most refined and well bred among you will be cruel and hostile toward his brother and toward the wife he cherishes, toward the rest of his children whom remain, so that he will not give even one of them any of the flesh of his children, which he will eat, because he has nothing left, else left during this. The most, listen at this, this is the part I was trying to get to. That talked about the men also who broke the law, but this is about those same women that the woman says she had to eat her child. The most refined and well-bred woman among you, who would not venture to set the sole of her foot on the ground because she is so delicate and pampered. In other words, since her husband opened doors for her and give her everything she wants, and she's so high-class and thinks she more than everybody else, will be cruel. She will be cruel and hostile toward her husband she cherishes, and toward her son and daughter, and toward her afterbirth that comes from between her legs, and toward the children whom she bears. For she will eat them secretly for lack of anything else during the siege and misery by which your enemy will oppress you in the cities. Is this not talking about this very thing that's happening? Hadn't God's word said that when they do these things, these very women would hide and eat their children? Here, these two women had hid and ate their children? Because God's word had said it. See, that's why I say you have to be aware and know what God's word said. This is the curse. You're cursed when these things are happening. That's why I said this nation is cursed. You better not be under that. You better reverse the curse by walking in his words and his commandments and hope in Christ. And ask him to clothe you in his righteousness. Or you will be among a cursed nation. They were all out there cursed. God saved them from the enemy, but they were cursed. That's what God does to you. You allowed that. You brought that up on yourselves by not walking in his word. Now, doing this thing, the next day when these lepers arose up and they said, well, look, we're going to sit here and die. God was motivating them. That was God waking them up to say, look, we're not going to sit here and wait for somebody to bring us something or give us something. Mm-hmm. We're going to die sitting here waiting on them. If the Assyrians kill us, we'll die, just have to die. We'll die more quickly than starving to death. So in hope, they went to the Assyrians' camp, hoping for mercy. That's a picture of us. That's a picture of us, hoping for mercy. They was hoping that they would find mercy. Are you hoping that you would find mercy? Yeah. They went out there, and God was already at work. If you would just move a few inches, if you would just take some steps to help yourself,
yep.
God had already caused the enemy to run off. They came out there, they went to one tent. It was full of food, money, and clothing, and everything. Hey, man, we've hit the jackpot. We were starving, and they started eating and going on. But look at the center here. Look at the center. The one that was cast out. Did he carry a grudge? He said, no, look, you know what? What we doing ain't right. We didn't hid a lot of this money. We didn't hid a lot of food. And the whole people back there starving. Let us go tell the people about it. Let us go tell everybody about it. If you got the gospel, if God's got you living an abundant life, if God has appeared unto you and gave you hope and blessed you, why not share it with somebody else? Go tell people. And they wasn't grudgeful. They wasn't hateful. They went back and told the very king, the very people who had them cast out, they went back and told them. We need to tell people of the gospel. Tell people of the hope that lies within us. Why are we the way we are? We need to go and broadcast that. Hey, there's food here. God has life. He has life overflowing in abundance. And so the people were rushing out. But that old doubtful king, he was still with unbelief and doubt. He said, let's just send a few. Somebody had to tell him, say, well, if you don't want to go out, because he said, that's a scheme, they're going to get us. And somebody always unbelieving. See, so that's why I didn't tell you or say about this. I had my rationale. But I said, I gave God room to work. I always try to give God room to work.
Yes.
You see, I could open my mouth and I could have cast unbelief. See, but what happened to me, what happened to this guy, he opened his mouth in unbelief. You know, some people just talk too much. They always got something to say about something or whatever. And a wise head toast is still talking. Instead of always with something to say, why don't you just wait and let it play itself out, maybe? Ask to be led by the Spirit of God. The Holy Ghost will tame your tongue. So what happens is, the people rush out to get this food. The king had appointed, so this would be done in an orderly fashion, because if a whole city hadn't eaten, and here's a slew of food and riches and things, he would have a stampede. He's like dog, what it is, Black Friday at Walmart,
yeah.
People get stampeded.
Yeah.
Well, what happened was, the king had appointed this guy who was doubtful, who had said, how is this going to happen? It couldn't happen if God would open the windows of heaven for them.
Oh,
he said, look, you watch the gate for us. You watch it and make sure this that they are orderly. He's there watching the gate, and they trample him underfoot and kill him. He's seen all this happen, but see, God fulfills his word, don't he? It was God who talked with the king to tell him to put this guy right here in arm's way. Because that's what happened with unbelief. Put him right here. And he put him right there. And the Bible tells you that this guy was trampled underfoot. He saw it, but he didn't live to get it. Hadn't Elijah say, you're going to see this, but you won't live to see it until you get it? You'll see God do wonderful things for other people. You know, it's a lot of people that will see things happening good, but since they've been operating in unbelief and not trusting God, they're not going to enjoy it. They're not going to be able to walk in because they didn't act on it to be God. See, it's something God wants you to do. You have to have hope in God, and it's going to motivate you to do the right thing. But you can't doubt God and have unbelief. But you have to know the word of God to act on the things God tells you. You have to know. That's why I said study to show yourself approved. But you can't have a spirit of fear. God will start to show you things, and by then you'll learn not to give that holy to the dogs. In other words, it's something you can't tell your wife. But you know, that's why I don't tell a lot of people things. You go back and tell their wife or their husband or something. But then God says, don't tell her that lieth in your breast everything.
Yes.
Samson, a strong man, but he was a fool. He died a fool's death. He ended up killing himself because he was weak to the bed. He was weak. Delilah made a fool of him. Strong as he was, she made a fool of him. Because God said, don't tell nobody. But he told all. He was so much in love with her. He was so in love. See, that's fleshly. That's carnal love. See, the Lord thy God, you should love him above everything, even your own self. Lord, give us hope, Lord God. Lord God, let us not be a part of this generation, a part of this people. But let us study your word and act upon your word as Elisha did, Lord God. Lord God, if you had said it, Lord God, we know and have faith and hope that you will bring it to pass, Lord God. We ask you to help us to walk therein, Lord God, that we would take heed unto your word, Lord God, be obedient to all your precepts, Lord God, all of the things that you had said, Lord God, to have faith and trust in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.